One area where the results of winning habits are measurable and made visible is in the sports world. The successful sports stars and teams are those that are consistent in their practices and adhere to proven patterns of success. When I thought about our discussion this month, I knew we had to sit down with Don Yeager. Don is a 7 times New York Times best-selling author, a longtime associate editor for Sports Illustrated, and an award-winning keynote speaker. Oh, and you probably read his powerful stories on the cover of Success Magazine as well. And while Don has achieved his own greatness, he's also had the opportunity to learn firsthand from some of the greatest and most successful sports legends in the world. Don, it's a real treat to have you in this audio for a change, instead of just on the printed pages of Success Magazine. Welcome.
Thanks, Darren.
So let's jump right in, Don. You told me once about a quote that you keep stuck to your mirror that talks about winning habits, which is the topic of this discussion. So share with us that quote and then why it's so important to you.
Sure. It's a great quote from Vince Lombardi, and I loved it. The quote says, "Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing." Those last couple of sentences that Coach Lombardi offered were the ones that really jumped out at me because it's so true. If you spend time, especially in the world of business and the world of sports, you develop a habit of winning, and you start to see that there's a confidence and a belief in yourself that grows through winning. And unfortunately, there's a defeatist attitude that happens as people begin to lose, and they don't think they can pull themselves out of it. There are ways to do so, and there are great examples of people who have figured out how to beat that funk. But in this case, it really kind of jumped out to me how Coach Lombardi hit it right on the head. You know, that too often we see teams that go into that funk because in losing, they develop that habit of finding ways to fail toward the end of a game.
Ah, yes. The compound effect of habits will work for you or against you, but it is always working. Now, Don, you've interviewed and worked with a lot of winners in your time, one of which is John Wooden, one of my favorite characters ever. And he was a true creature of habits. Talk to us about any habits that he suggested that were crucial to his success.
Coach was also a lifelong learner. He was the best coach there ever was, winning 10 NCAA championships in 12 years. One of the things that stuck out to me was at the end of every season, even in the seasons where his team had finished undefeated and won a national championship, Coach Wooden would sit down with his assistant coaches and they would try to identify something they wished they had done better as a team. They would go out and try to figure out what other team had done what they wished they had done better than they did. And then Coach Wooden would write a letter to that head coach and ask for permission to come visit with him to learn the secrets of their success. And I thought, here was the most successful guy in his industry, right? The most successful guy on the planet in his business, constantly looking to learn from other people who are doing something just slightly better than him. Coach Wooden was a master in that area, and I think that showed in everything that he developed.
Yeah, one of the lines that I underlined in your book was when John was talking about Abraham Lincoln. And one of the lines that stuck out to John from Abraham Lincoln is, "I do not think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday." So you talk about this philosophy of being a consummate learner. It's the one quality that I have seen that is consistent amongst every superachiever that I've had a chance to meet. So it's interesting how consistent that is, the number one quality of great achievers in any field or any endeavor.
I totally agree with you, Darren.
So if you had to pick the number one answer that comes up when discussing habits with winners, what would it be?
I would tell you that it's eliminating excuses. I had this wonderful conversation with Michael Jordan recently. I'm working on a book project that he is involved in, and Michael Jordan had this great line. He said, "A loss is not a failure until you make an excuse." That he thinks that everybody has an opportunity to learn from anything that happens to you until you make an excuse. The second you get into the excuse mindset is the time period when you've lost the opportunity to call it a potential victory. We all have to have a reason why we failed or why something didn't go our way. If you can take that off the table, that one change in habit can make the world of difference.
Let's talk about the influence of habits. And one is associations. And I know that Coach Wooden in particular was dogmatic about being careful of who you surround yourself. I think he even called it the 5 people. And he had sort of a ledger about how he worked it out. Can you explain that to everybody listening? Because I think that's a brilliant way to sort of divide up the
influences of associations as you start to try to reorient your habit forming process.
Sure. One day when I was with Coach Wooden and we were talking about this, the value of association, the importance of the people around you, he said, you will never outperform your inner circle. If you want to know what your capacity for success is, your capacity for greatness is, look at the people you have around you in your personal life, in your professional life, because you will never outperform them. And if you want to achieve at a higher level, constantly be evaluating and improving your inner circle. One night at the end of one of our conversations, Coach Wooden actually slid a sheet of paper across to me, and I was headed back to the hotel. We were going to have breakfast again the next day, and he drew two lines on the sheet of paper. And in his challenge to me was that night while at the hotel, he wanted me to go through the first column was the five people I spend my most time with in my personal life. The middle column would be the five people I give my most time to professionally. Who are the people I spend my time with in my professional endeavors? And the third column might be your church or some other social organization that would be important in your life. Who are the five people in that group that you spend your time with? Coach Wooden challenged me that night to sit down after listing out the people that I spent my time with and evaluate whether each one of them was headed in the direction I wanted to be going. Were they going to be the kind of influence that I wanted to have on the growth that I wanted to achieve? And his challenge was, if you're going through that list and you're finding people that aren't headed in that direction, if they're not headed where you want to be going, it's your job to scratch them from the list and find a new five. And it was an amazing exercise. I remember doing it that night and continuously doing it. Now I do it about every 6 months. I sit down because obviously our inner circles sometimes change. And as I do that, it is when you think especially of, are they headed where I'm headed? Are they dragging me down? You suddenly realize that you evaluating each person that is in that circle, you'll start to figure out what your opportunity for success is.
So here's another key factor of habit creation, and that is accountability. So talk to us about how accountability is the key to creating good habits, and give us a few tips on it.
Well, Coach Wooden's lesson on that was, especially on this group of five, was to say that, you know, once you've gone public to your inner circle with what it is that you hope to achieve, ask them to hold you accountable. Unfortunately, one of the great challenges for most of us in this life is that we don't have accountability partnerships. We don't have anybody out there that is that we respect enough that if they say it and they have the right measure of love and interest in you, that you will stay on task. And Coach Wooden said, if you're going to go ahead and pick these as your inner circle, right, the circle that you'll never outperform, make sure you also ask them to hold you accountable.
This is a perfect spot where I want to read what John Wooden called his definition of success. So here we are, Success Magazine. I think we should definitely give John Wooden, the greatest basketball coach of all time, in my view, what his definition of success was. And it was this: success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction and knowing you made the effort to become the best of which you are capable. So therein lies the accountability to yourself, that you have become the best that you are capable.
And when Coach talked about that, I think the thing that I loved in that, in the way he phrased that when you heard him say it, is that the last part of that was only you know if you've really done your best. Mm. I mean, you could have a whole plethora of people out there who are praising you for your actions and something that you've done, but only you know if you really left it all on the field, or if you left it all in the meeting, or if you did everything you could have done to be successful. Only you know. But if you know it, you are successful.
Mm, that's brilliant. So now let's talk about Walter Payton. This was the man who was famous for running, quote unquote, the hill. I know that you lived with him during the last few weeks of his life while helping write his book. So share with us what you learned from him about winning habits.
The thing that was so special about Walter, he had a hill that wasn't very far from where he lived in outside of Chicago. And the hill was unbelievably steep. And in the off season, Walter Payton would go and doggedly run to the top of that hill, sprint back down, do it again. He would do that 20 to 25 times in a set. There would be high school kids, there would be others, especially as Walter became more famous and the Bears became more cult-like. There were others who wanted to come run the hill with Walter, and it always was amazing that these high school kids, unbelievably stud athletes, couldn't keep up with him. And the lesson Walter always had in that was that, you know, if you really want to be a winner, habits don't take the season off, right? That there are an awful lot of people that when they when they've achieved their goal, whatever it might have been within their company, that they then kind of relax a little bit. They've managed to hit the number that the company said they had to, and now it's time to kind of pull back for a little bit, save that next opportunity for next year. Walter Payton believed that you never take the season off, and that and he was one of those first athletes, especially in the NFL, where a lot of players back then made good money but not so great that they couldn't also have other jobs. Walter was one of the first who came into training camp every year in tip-top shape. You know, that time period of training was not for his ability to get into shape, which it was for a lot of the other athletes, because Walter Payton stayed in shape, ran that hill all off-season long, and that taught others a great lesson about the importance of coming well-prepared to be successful.
I remember an interview with Will Smith, and he was asked the question, what do you do to get in such great shape for these big movie roles? And he said simply, it's easier to stay in shape than it is to get in shape. And I think that's true for all of us. So what you're talking about is this key ingredient of consistency, which leads me to remember another big-time winner that you interviewed for us at Success, who was Coach K from Duke University. Talk to us about his take on habits and how they influence whether you win or lose.
Now, when I was interviewing him for Success, Coach K offered this line, which I thought was pretty extraordinary. He said, the greatest gift a human being has is the ability to reprogram yourself anytime you choose to and develop behaviors that, when repeated consistently, will become habits. And he said the biggest problem that most people have is they want to change their biggest issue first, the habit they want to take on or the goal they want to try to achieve or the one that will define success or failure for them is often the biggest thing out there. And he believed that if you really, truly want to reprogram your mind, and that's what habit reforming is, that you had to try to pick small things that you can know whether or not you're moving and improving upon. And then in that process, while improving yourself in small, perceivable ways, you will find that you have ultimately achieved the big goal.
So now, you know, a lot of teams done and companies out there have a quote-unquote formula of behaviors or habits that they know, if executed, will result in success. So explain why, in that case, they often don't succeed.
You know, it's interesting. Rex Ryan, the head coach of the New York Jets, one time he and I were talking about this, and he acknowledged that they had a sense of what the formula was that would lead to success. They knew what percentage of the game they needed to run the ball and what percentage they needed to pass. They had a formula that they believed would be successful. But that as the season wore on, that they found themselves having success in a couple of places that was outside the formula, and they became kind of attracted to that. And ultimately, at the end, they went away from their formula, and that led to some failures that were relatively high profile. Interesting discussion there, because I know that's true of a lot of companies too. They have a formula. They know what has to happen in order to be successful. They know that if you make a certain number of calls on a certain number of days, and you set up a certain number of meetings, that ultimately that chipping away at it will lead to success. Just like Rex Ryan in defining what the team's success needed to be. And unfortunately, sometimes we get attracted to things that take us off of that formula. And that's the lesson here, is if you know what a winning formula is for you, for your company, you can't get away from that. And failure to live to the formula, you shouldn't be surprised then when you fail because you've not found that same level of success.
So speaking of formulas, Don, when John Wooden, who's repeatedly asked what his secret formula was for success, his answer, I'm reading from your book here, was, there wasn't a secret formula. We just focused on becoming brilliant at the basics. This is one of the things why I find him to be such an amazing achiever, because it really was just this dogmatic discipline of mastering the basics. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. And I think one of the things I loved about it is, you know, Coach Wooden didn't do things as other coaches did while thinking about the basics. For example, I mean, he knows that your better chance of being successful as a shooter is if you had the right form, right? If you took off properly with good balance and you landed with good balance. But the truth is that if we go out there and we give you a basketball and a rim and you go out and practice shooting, you're going to be more focused on whether the ball goes in the basket than whether or not you're using the right form while shooting the basketball. So Coach Wooden very strangely for a lot of his players who were among the very best in the game at the time, Coach Wooden would run shooting drills without basketballs because he didn't want them to get caught up on whether or not the ball went in the hoop. He wanted them to get focused on how to do the small details more correctly. So, you know, Coach Wooden, he loved to say it all the time that, if you want to achieve at your highest level, do common things uncommonly well. Mm-hmm. And that's where most people fail, is that they don't do the common things uncommonly well.
Let's talk about somebody else who's pretty legendary for his winning habits, and that's Peyton Manning. You know, he pushes his teammates and asks them to work extra with him so that they can develop a sense of each other's strengths. So what else have you learned from watching, writing about, and spending time with Peyton Manning?
You know, I love a story with Peyton Manning that Tony Dungy loved to tell when he was talking about Peyton's desire to try to bring everybody along with him. You know, obviously he's the best player on the field, so he could just sit back and say, look, I'm counting on you to catch up with me, but not Peyton. A few years back, the Indianapolis Colts drafted Anthony Gonzalez, a tight end, wide receiver out of Ohio State, and he was a first-round pick for them, so they were expecting a lot from him when he came on board. But Anthony Gonzalez was in his last semester of college, and actually Ohio State didn't graduate until June. Their graduation ceremonies weren't until June. So all of the early training camps he was going to have to miss because he didn't want to miss school. He wanted to graduate. It was very important to him. Peyton Manning could have sat back and said, man, we made this guy a top pick, and he's not coming to camp. Instead, Peyton got in his car. And twice a week for the last 5 weeks, as Anthony Gonzalez was getting ready to graduate, Peyton Manning drove from Indianapolis to Columbus, Ohio, so the two of them could find a practice field to go work together so that they could establish a timing pattern. They could understand what they should expect from each other. And I thought, you know, there's the leader of the team, right? There's the best player in the franchise. And instead of saying, hey, Anthony, it's your job to come to me, he said, I so respect the idea that you want to graduate that I'm going to come to you. And when we talk about how to push others, you can't push others into a place that you're not also willing to join them. And that's one of the things that I love most about Coach Dungy's description of Peyton Manning in that environment.
You know, I just have to find a place to put this in because it's another thing that I underlined in your book, Don, that I really love from Coach Lambert that John Wooden took away from it. And it fits along these lines of Peyton Manning going out of his way to do what it takes to still be a leader in his organization. And this line that I underline is, if something needs to be done, you be the one to act. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Take action. Take the initiative, which I really love. So one final question before we end this great session, Don. Of all the successful people you've had a chance to talk with and everything that they've shared with you, tell us one thing, the overarching lesson that will help get the listeners feet pointed in the right direction to start developing their own winning habits.
You know, it's fascinating. When I think about this, I think about when you ask this question, when you ask great winners, you know, what are some of the habits? What are the characteristics of your success? One that comes up so frequently, it's really amazing to me, is how many high achievers in at least in my world, in the sports world that I've spent a lot of time in, will tell you that they believe in proper nutrition, but by that they don't just mean what you feed yourself physically. They're talking about what they feed themselves, especially in the morning. Almost every great champion I've had this conversation with over the last 20 years will tell you that they have a morning ritual where they govern for some period of time what they feed themselves, what they read, what they listen to, what they watch, who they talk to. They have some period of the day in which they give themselves an advantage over others by through a little inspiration. And that idea, that morning nutrition idea, is the one that really stuck with me because I thought, how amazing is that consistently, doesn't matter what race, doesn't matter what sport, doesn't matter what generation they're from, how consistently that subject comes up. And for me, a real game changer of a lesson from great winners.
Mr. Don Yeager, thank you so much for giving us your game plan for life. I'm sure that those who have been listening in will have had an impact on their building and growing winning habits. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Darren.
Success Audio Series, copyright Success Media, all rights reserved.